The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And before we get underway with our Under the Helmet segment, we want to take time to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We've got some good stuff on there. Be sure and check it out. You can also email us at info@eradiosports.com. And we are continuing with our conversation on the 2011 NFL draft coverage and a big stage in New York City with all these guys. They're walking across. They're being welcomed into the NFL. And we are so delighted to welcome into our program former NFLer and college grad at the University of Nebraska, three-time national champ, Jason Peter. Jason, how are you? This is an exciting time of year. We think back to what you were a first-round draft pick in 1998. This time of year really does have to bring back many special memories for you.
It does. It's a very exciting time. These young 20, 21, 22-year-old kids, because ultimately that's what they are, they're way too young to be making this kind of money, even though the money's going to change a little bit. My father always said that you have no business having that type of money at your fingertips. And now that I've lived and I've matured and I've become an adult and I have my own children, I have to look back and agree that it was getting obviously out of hand, and it got a lot more out of hand after I had left the NFL. But it seems like that isn't going to be the case anymore with all the stuff that's happening with the lockout or maybe the lifted lockout. Going back to these players that are being drafted here in New York, it's a little different than when I went through it. These kids, they're getting picked by all of their the teams that have fallen in love with them and want them to come play for their organization, but they're not really part of the organization. And they can't really have any contact with anybody from their team. And it's an odd situation. I know there was a lot of talk about some of the players taking part in the draft. I'm sure that from the players' side of it, they would have hoped maybe that these players wouldn't take part in the draft, because it is more of a an owner type thing. It's more of the big picture rather than the players aspect of it. But you get to go through this once in your life, and to tell some of these kids, just because your draft year falls under the year where we're doing the new CBA, you're not able to take part in this once-in-a-lifetime experience. I don't think you could actually ask these young men to not take part. So it is kind of bittersweet, like I said, with the excitement of being chosen and entering a new part of your life and going to a new city, but at the same time, you don't really get to, I guess, fully take it in because you're not allowed to have contact with your team.
And despite the labor battles and all this uncertainty, I would just assume, so many of these players, they have just got to have some anxiety because they're not really sure what the future is going to hold and when all this is going to pass.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch of them that are wishing they had come out the year before, last year. Some of them probably would have made a lot more money, with the way that they're doing the CBA. And from what we've heard, this is already an issue that is taken care of. Both sides have agreed that there will be a rookie pay scale. And a lot of that money, I think maybe even half of it, is going to go towards the veterans. Like I said before, it's something that it's hard to argue with. It did get out of control, but I'm sure there are a bunch of them that wish, or for some of them that had the opportunity to go out maybe last year, I'm sure there's a little voice inside that's saying, gosh, man, we wouldn't have to deal with any of this stuff. We'd have a nice big paycheck already in our bank account, and the uncertainty wouldn't be there. But, you know, I think most of these guys realize that they're going to be all right. The CBA is going to get figured out at some point. You know, they shouldn't worry about that when, you know, you're talking about these past few days. They should be enjoying the fact that, like I said, they're about to start a new chapter in their life.
Jason, how do you think the labor negotiations have changed this year's team's draft strategy?
Well, it's changed in the regard that you're not able to take teams players currently on your team and package them together and trade them off. I mean, that's always part of the draft. You know, there's no free agency, so these are ways that teams use to fill voids in their franchises. You know, if you have a problem at corner, there's two ways of addressing it at this point in a normal year, and that's either through the draft or through free agency. And right now you're not able to move around players. You can't trade current players. You can't go out and sign you know, the big free agent guy on the market. So everything pretty much at this point has to do with the draft. But you know, and hopefully they get it figured out soon. You know, the less time that guys have knowing the new franchise that they're going to be with the new team, you know, the less amount of time that they have studying a playbook, and you know, the lack of mini camps. You know, you probably will expect to see a bunch of new head coaches in the league have trouble this year just because they haven't had as much time to work with their players. You're going to see teams that have new young quarterbacks playing. You're going to see those teams struggle more likely than not because of the less amount of time that they've had to work with their head coach and work with the players around them.
You know, one of the things I think about too, Jason, is, you know, when you watch the draft, as I have in the years past, you know, usually it's full of an opportunity where you find that steal in the draft. And just some of these guys that are unproven, I would have to think they're going to be less desirable. These guys, when they're going after players, they want to find a guy that they can count on and that he's going to be an immediate difference maker, perhaps not one that, you know, down the road or down the line.
Yeah, I think nowadays everybody's looking for the guy that can come in and play right away. But even when you look at this draft and you look at the quarterbacks, and you know whether or not any of those guys are guys that can come in and play right away, I'm not so sure. And especially when you talk about the limited amount of time that they'll have prior to their rookie year, the amount of communication that they'll have with their coaches prior to this upcoming season, I think it's going to be hard for certain. I mean, I've said it before: quarterback is the toughest position to play in the NFL. And you know, when you look at this class, even with Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert and Andy Dalton and all of them. Yeah, I don't know if there's any one guy out of that group that you could say he's going to go in and he's going to start game one for his franchise. And I think most of them probably need a year or two on the sidelines to mature. But, you know, that's not the case with most other positions. I think when you're looking at drafting a guy, sure, there's a few of them that you say, well, he's really raw and maybe he's only played football for a year or two. But for everybody else, it's you know, who can we get in our locker room that can help from day one? And I think that's a mindset that a lot of franchises take nowadays.
Well, I think Nebraska's got a couple of players that can make a difference from day one. You want to highlight some of those, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Princeton Mukamara obviously is somebody, I think, who, when you look at the group, he's the guy who people are expecting to go in and can contribute from day one. You know, I don't think there's anybody else in the locker room that will carry those same expectations. There's a few guys with Keith Williams, the offensive lineman, and Eric Hegg, who's a secondary type guy. He can, you know, go and cover a slot receiver, and you know, the one guy I think that probably a lot of fans out here in Nebraska are excited to see is Alex Henry, the kicker. Such an important role in Nebraska's success that they've had over the last few years. This guy has had so many clutch field goals. It's been unbelievable. And he was a punter here at Nebraska too. And you can't count the amount of times that he's pinned the opponent within the 5-yard line. He's just been, in my eyes, the most valuable guy probably on the team in the last 2 years. And that's very hard for me to admit, that a kicker was the most valuable guy in the locker room. But, you know, a lot of people are curious to see how he'll do in the NFL.
Jason Peter is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are breaking it all down with our Under the Helmet segment. The 2011 NFL Draft is underway. We're going to do a full recap next weekend on the program. But, you know, one of the things when this time of year rolls around, you also think about, you know, who are going to be the NFL bus. And we certainly, I mean, I would have never anticipated Jamarcus Russell in 2007 with the Oakland Raiders. Did you think that his stock would plummet like it did?
No, I don't think he ever, especially when you're talking about those top guys. I mean, you go back, and a guy in my draft that many consider the biggest bust in draft history was Ryan Leaf. You know, I don't think there was anybody that sat there and said, this guy's not going to succeed. I mean, he was a guy that many people thought is better than Peyton Manning. And you just never know. There's so many variables and intangibles that come into play. And, you know, for as much homework as teams do, you never really know. You never know how a guy's health is going to come into play. I know for myself, you know, trying to get healthy, that was the biggest battle year in and year out. And for some guys, you know, they're just blessed, or, you know, a lot of it I think is just luck. But, you know, when it comes to some of these guys that you're picking number one and number two, I don't think there's anybody in the draft from any of those teams when Jamarcus Russell was picked that if he had fallen to their team, they wouldn't have picked him. You know, he's a big presence. He has an arm. You know, he can throw it a country mile. And you just never know how a guy's going to react once he has millions of dollars in his pocket. Does he lose the drive? Does he want to go out and compete? Is it a passion of his of playing football? I mean, these are the things that ultimately you find out after you've signed the guy.
I hate to make this admission, you know, Ryan Leaf, he is from my hometown of Great Falls, Montana. Now, he didn't go to my high school. He went to CMR Russell High School, but yeah, he definitely turned out to be a flop. But also, now Ray Carruth, wasn't he one of your teammates with the Carolina Panthers?
Ray Carruth, he was a teammate of mine in Carolina, and he was an old Colorado kid. So we used to play them year in and year out, and yeah, you just never know what somebody's capable of, and you know, even knowing Ray on I guess a limited basis, we didn't hang out, but he was injured quite a bit, and I was as well, and so we spent a lot of time rehabbing together. And you know, if I said that, you know, I could have seen that coming, him wanting his pregnant girlfriend, you know, killed, I mean, I'd be the biggest liar in the world. I mean, you know, there were no signs of that. You know, Ray was kind of a quiet guy that went about his business, and he, as far as I know, didn't do much socializing with other guys on the team. But, you know, to me, that doesn't mean that you're an automatic misfit or that there's something evil lurking inside you. But you just never know.
My final question for you, Jason, is a little bit of an update coming out of Lincoln, Nebraska. As I understand, Bo Pelini, he did get an extension, or what was it, a raise?
It was a raise, and he becomes, without ever going into playing a game in the Big Ten, he's third highest paid coach in the Big Ten behind the very controversial Jim Tressel and the very championship-less Kirk Ferentz. So We'll see. You know, Pelini, right now it looks like he's following the path of Kirk Ferentz, maybe rather than Jim Tressel, but, you know, I can't say whether one's better than the other at this point right now, but he's making $2.775 million, I believe is the exact number. I think in 2014 he'll be over $3 million a year, but at that point I'm sure they'll renegotiate another contract. So, you know, for me it's a little difficult just because I had a coach that after his third national championship he was making $250,000 base salary in Tom Osborne.
That is incredible.
Nowadays, I understand it's a little different and... You know, you got to keep up with the Joneses, because you don't want your guy going somewhere else. You know, I expect there to be at least a conference championship when you're getting paid almost $3 million a year. And we just don't have that in Nebraska. I think a lot of money is given out these days because you're concerned he might go somewhere else. Well, you know, if he's going to go somewhere else, he's going to go somewhere else. You know, are you going to keep jacking the dollar amount up? I mean, will there ever be a price that makes a guy happy and says, I'm not going to leave? You just, you know, you got to trust the guy, I guess, when he says, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. And, you know, you shouldn't feel like you have to constantly, you know, jack up a salary. But I do think that this is kind of heading in a direction similar to NFL rookies, where it's getting out of control now, and a lot of these guys are getting paid ridiculous amounts of money, and they haven't done anything up to that point. I mean, $3 million a year. You would expect there to be a conference championship. So, you know what, though? With the more money that you get, the higher the expectations, and if he doesn't win a championship here in the next year or two, then I imagine that he will be looking for a new place to coach.
Well, he better get it done and make it happen because, as you said, very high expectations and the pressure will be on him competing the first year in the Big Ten Conference. Jason, we look forward to next weekend so we can do a full recap on the draft, and we certainly appreciate taking time and being a part of the program this weekend. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight.
Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum.
And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.